I cannot tell you how excited I am that one of the very first voices I ever heard on the air here on KUMD when I began back in the fall of 1991 was the amazing Bob King and Glenn Langhorst. And now that he's got that newspaper nonsense out of his system, he's returned to radio where he belongs. I am so thrilled to introduce Bob King, Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy.
I never thought I'd be laughing so much.
We need
January 1st, so it's a great way to start the new year.
We need some kind of, I don't know, well, like, oh, what's that famous with all the timpani? The star plus dramatic music thing.
Oh, also Sprach Zarathustra.
That's the one.
That's the one from the movie 2001.
That's it. We need that theme music, Bob, to start off every show.
Well, I bet you've got it in your library here, Lisa.
And I bet you'd know where to find it.
I could probably still find it.
You were actually on the air as a jock here once upon a time as a host of a music program.
Yes, I was.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I had a great time. I enjoyed the people here, and I did a song or a program called Noon Song, which I think was from 10 until noon. And it was a variety program. Any music I wanted to play, it was all good.
Fantastic. And then, of course, you and Glenn Langhorst had Star Talk, and I remembered playing Star Talk right at the beginning of my tenure here at KUMD.
That's right. We would banter about the skies. We had a good deal of fun with that.
Well, I don't know enough about the skies to banter, but we're going to talk about, you've got, of course, now the internet's been invented, and you've got your blog, just the technology. And so we'll be talking a lot about what people can look forward to seeing. And, of course, as an amateur photographer, I've already, you know, sniveled at you just a little bit. Can you teach people how to take star photographs? And you said, oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. I can give some tips here. No problem.
You already have so far this morning. Don't put on your little whatever extra filter.
That's right.
And your pictures will turn out a little bit better.
That's an easy one.
And always, if you can, photograph from somebody's house in the middle of the Tules so that all you have to do is like crack the door open and shoot out the open door. Don't actually go out and stand out in, you know, whatever below. Just open up the patio door and take a couple pictures. And
that way you can just stay in your pajamas and go directly back into bed if needed.
That is exactly what I did, Bob. That is exactly what I did.
Beautiful.
I set my alarm so that I could get up, and there was Orion hanging in the southern sky. And I was so excited. And so I went and set up my tripod. I also learned from someone, because it's a really long exposure when you take a star photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, well, you've got to have a remote cable. And somebody else said, you don't need a remote cable.
No, you don't.
And you just can turn on the live view, and you can gently touch it with your finger, and you can watch it count down the number of seconds.
Well, I'll give you another tip in that case. So that you don't jiggle the camera by accident, you can put the self timer on for 2 seconds. You just turn it to self-timer, like you're going to run into the photograph.
Right,
remember the old days before selfies?
Well, you still actually can do that with your cell phone, I learned, too, because they're... No. Yeah, okay.
But you put the self-timer on, and then you hit the button, and then there's no jiggle from your finger. 2 seconds later, camera takes the photo.
Nice.
Yes. Built in. Most cameras have it, so...
Wow. We are going to have so much fun with this show. So... we've got extraordinarily cold temperatures, so that must mean clear sky. So it's good for sky watching.
Yes,
and
it's
stuff.
Supposed to be clear tonight.
Right.
This morning, I was hoping for it to be clear. It was like mostly clear. Did you happen
the
to
moon,
see the moon and the Venus?
Was that right below?
That was Venus.
Oh,
yes.
It was hazy.
Beautiful.
It was obvious the moon was hazy, but I did notice it right away, and there was a part of my brain going, I'd like to take his picture. So
that's what I did. I did not go out in my pajamas, though, because it was minus 10 at the house. So I took the tripod out quick. I composed a scene, and it was just so beautiful. And you got me up this morning, so I figured I'm going to take this picture. So I photographed Venus. It was just a gorgeous sight. I bet a lot of people saw it, too. Well,
and
maybe
so then
not
I can ask you for the photograph to use to illustrate the story.
I can send that
to you.
See
how
you'd like.
Magical this is?
Yes.
It all comes together. So it was absolutely beautiful, and it does look as though we've got clear skies in the forecast for tonight. Yeah, mostly clear. It's going to be 15 below. But it's going to be clear. Mm-hmm. So, okay. What things can we look for other than the moon and Venus?
Wow. Well, tonight you can look for Orion rising. There are no real bright planets left except one, Mars, which is due south and about halfway up in the sky, halfway between the horizon and the zenith, the overhead point.
Okay.
So you'll look there, see this kind of pinkish-orange, brightish object at the end of twilight, and that's the planet Mars. After Mars comes Orion in the southeast. And then if you are out and around, I would say about 9 o'clock in the evening, if you're driving around, I bet a lot of people have noticed this, but if you shoot a line right through Orion's belt to the lower left, just follow the three belt stars down to the horizon, you're going to see a super bright white star, usually twinkles like crazy. That is Sirius, and that is the brightest star in the entire sky. Doesn't matter what hemisphere you're in. It's the dog star.
So, of course, it's the best.
And it's the best. It's the brightest. I once took a photograph of my dog. I got my dog to sit still on the road, and I had the camera on a tripod, and I photographed her with Sirius behind her just so I could have my dog with the dog star.
With the dog star.
It's called the dog star because it's the brightest star in Canis Major, which is the greater dog or the big dog constellation, right below and left of Orion.
Fantastic.
So we have that, and then tomorrow morning, now it's going to stay clear through the night, tomorrow morning you can go back out and look at Venus again, right? Starting at, we'll say about 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock right in there is good, and you'll see the moon will have moved below Venus, and below the moon you'll see another bright star, not quite with the power of Venus, that one is Jupiter. So you'll have Venus, a nice crescent moon, and Jupiter lined up tomorrow morning. Very pretty.
Nice. Nice. Now, Ken, I almost never have a problem. I live in the Woodland neighborhood. I almost never have a problem seeing the moon and the planets, and I can usually see Orion in my neighborhood. But if you're going to do good stargazing, and obviously for astrophotography, you need to find a darker place. Are there any public places? Not like the backyard of somebody we know, but I mean, are there any good public places that you could go if you wanted to do a little bit of stargazing in town, or do you have to really get out of Duluth in order to?
Well, it all depends. Yes, you do need to get out of Duluth. If you're on the fringe of town, like Lakewood Township, for instance, or if you're down in Fond du Lac, your skies are pretty dark down there, and it's easy to get to a darker sky. Because of where Duluth is, most of the time, unless you're on the far western end of town, you have to drive north.
Okay.
So you can put Duluth kind of behind you. And as far as public places, there's not like a public stargazing spot, but I know people have gone to like the dog park, for instance, which is off Jean Duluth Road on Riley Road. There's a spot there where at least you got a parking lot.
Well, and you obviously, you don't want to be on somebody's property, and you don't want to be parked even necessarily on the shoulder of the road. You want to either find a turnaround or a public spot where you can sit quietly and not frighten anybody else.
Yeah, if you know of a gravel pit that's plowed in the winter, that's the other thing that happens is that it is winter, which means that like some of my favorite spots that I go to set up a telescope, I can't go there anymore because it's covered in snow. So in the wintertime, unfortunately, I end up just setting up on roads. I'll pick a little used road and I'll set up. And I get to know the people that drive down those roads. And I invite them for a look, too. You know, they'll stop. I'll be like waving and show them a planet or two. But it is trickier in the winter.
I hope you wear like a reflective vest or something when you're parked in the middle of the road with your telescope.
Well, I get off to one side.
Well, wear a reflective
and
vest.
I do,
Bob. Do that.
That's a good idea, actually. I've never thought to put the vest on. So far, I've survived. Usually, I just hide behind the car. But there is another event that your listeners might be interested in. Those who are the hardiest hardiest of the hardy. There's a meteor shower happening this week.
Oh.
Now, we had the wonderful, and I don't know if you saw it, Lisa, the Geminid meteor shower back in the middle of December. It's the night of the 13th.
No, that involves a certain amount of, you know, that would involve getting up, driving someplace after dark, which either means because I go to bed really early. So it either means getting up, or it means getting up a little bit earlier, and I'm a big whiny baby. And I should have done it over the weekend, though.
Well, you might be able to do this one before you do the show. I don't know. This one is a strange name. It's called the Quadrantids, as in
so
quad.
It's for something. Yeah.
Quadrant. It's named for an obsolete constellation, Quadrans Mirales, which is a mural quadrant.
Constellation
that somebody pitched to get up there in the sky, and it appeared on some atlases a couple of hundred years ago, but it was not accepted by the astronomy community as being, you know, good enough to make it into the 88.
Ow.
And so,
I mean,
you'll love this. There's lots of obsolete constellations. There's Bufo the Toad. There's
we've got to do an entire show about I mean, when you think about the weird, many constellations, you can really see Orion the Hunter, for example.
Yes,
but many constellations
made the cut, man.
Do not look anything like what they're supposed to look like. And
right.
I mean, the constellations have roots back, you know, what, 1,000 years or more?
5,000, easily.
Easily.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that somebody would pitch a constellation and somebody else says, no, it's just not. Upon what basis do you reject a constellation? It can't be because it doesn't look like the thing. Because
they had all the brighter stars taken care of by the ancients.
Right.
So
okay.
Astronomers and cartographers looked at the fainter ones and said, "Well, why don't we make some patterns out of these too?
Yeah.
Put these on our atlases."
Yeah.
So there was once upon a time a toad, and one I really miss. There's an owl. There's also Phyllis the cat. I'm not kidding you.
Well.
So, but these were made of faint stars, and they just never were widely accepted. If they had been made in the era of the internet, maybe things would have gone differently.
Is there a movement afoot to revive these constellations?
There is zero.
Okay.
No movement, no interest.
Now we know what we're going to do for 2019. We're going to get one of those constellations reaccepted, Bob.
I'm getting charged up just at the thought. Well, I'm definitely going for Noctua then, the owl.
All right, yeah. And I think you find a lot of support for that definitely here in the Northland.
But just to get back to the meteor shower, it's called the Quadrantids, obsolete constellation, where the point where the meteors stream from, pardon me, it's called the Radiant. That is in the constellation of Bootes, which is the herdsman, located right below the handle of the Big Dipper. Now, that point in the sky does not get high enough for you to see a good view of the shower until the early morning hours just before dawn, like the hour or two before dawn. And the shower will peak on January the 4th.
Which is,
I believe it's a Friday morning.
It is Friday morning.
So it peaks on Friday morning. And if you lived in Europe, the shower is a very narrow, very brief peak. If you lived in Europe, North Africa, you would see about 100 meteors per hour. It's one of the best showers of the year. But it's very brief. So here in Duluth and in the Northland, we will see, if you're up at that time, maybe 20 meteors per hour. Not rich, but still you'll see Quadrantids.
And we'd be looking in roughly what direction?
Any direction you like.
Any direction.
Really, because meteors, they stream from the northeastern sky.
Okay, so you
so
might
you could look
start
northeast.
In the northeast.
You could look south,
oh, wow.
East, any direction.
Fabulous.
But the main thing is to find a place where it's reasonably dark. If you're in woodland, you would see a few of these meteors.
Well, I could shoot up north a little bit.
Yeah, just go north and on Jean Duluth Road or something like
that.
Or
go
to the dog park, go to Island Lake area, up Rice Lake Road.
Nice.
Those are some of the spots. So we have that happening this month. It's a shower. I call it the black sheep meteor shower because the peak is brief. It's cold. It's often cloudy. I haven't checked the forecast for Friday.
We've got an extended forecast, but you got to realize that you're going several days out, and so you don't want to take it necessarily too seriously. Friday, partly cloudy, 35. Friday night, partly cloudy, and 28. This is Thursday night, partly cloudy, and 23 for a low.
Oh.
Friday's daytime, high about 35. Friday night, partly cloudy again, and 28 for an overnight low.
Oh, Perfect. Good. That's great news. So I know I'm going to go out for it.
Okay. And we hope that we'll have photographs to show of the maybe for our show next week.
Yeah, if I can get a picture.
Sweet.
But yeah, it's again, not a big shower, but we are going to be mooned out for the big showers in 2019, which means the moon is going to be near full, which tends to wash out a lot of the meteors in the sky. It's going to be bright during the Perseids in August, which is a really familiar shower to
right.
people, and it'll be bright for the Geminids, the other great shower of the year. So we got to make do with just some little ones.
We do indeed. Bob, it is so great to have you on our air. You're going to be on Tuesdays this month, and then you have to go on hiatus and collect your thoughts and really gear up, and then you're going to be back in the spring. All summer long, we're going to have backyard astronomy. Yay!
Well, it is wonderful to be here, and thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Good to see you again.
Same.
Bob King is AstroBob, and we'll get some links set up so you can find his blog and get additional information. And, of course, we're going to lean on him to provide some beautiful photographs to illustrate this piece on our website at KUMD.org.